board certification matters. And it matters not only to the diplomates and practicing physiatrists, it matters to the public that we can increase their trust in us, all of us, not just the directors, not just the board itself, but all of the field of PM&R.
Welcome to the ABPMR Part 2 Examination Podcast. If you're preparing to take the exam this year, listen in as ABPMR board directors, Part 2 examiners, and other Part 2 experts talk all things Part 2, including the structure of the exam, scoring, study tips, what to expect on exam day, and more. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first ever episode of the ABPMR Part 2 podcast. We're so happy that you can join us today. My name is Lizzie Johnston. I'm the ABPMR Communications Coordinator and will be hosting this podcast series. If you're listening, you are probably taking the Part 2 examination this year in May, and maybe you want more information on what this exam is in general. You might be wondering what the purpose of the exam is. So to start off the podcast series and give you answers to why Part 2, I'm joined today by someone who I would confidently call the Part 2 exam expert. That is Chris Garrison, MD, MBA. Dr. Garrison is the chief of PM&R at Ascension Seton Healthcare Family and Residency in Austin, Texas. He is also a recovering program director for the University of Texas at Austin Dell Medical School, which he said that if you are a program director, you would know exactly what he's talking about when he says he's a recovering director. Dr. Garrison also volunteers as an ABPMR board director, and he serves as the Part 2 examination committee chair. So you are listening to one of the best people to give you information on why the ABPMR administers the Part 2 exam. Dr. Garrison, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for being our very first guest on the podcast series.
First guest, that's really an honor.
The very first guest.
Yeah, this is going to be great fun. And
it will be.
I look forward to this conversation.
So could you let everyone know how long you've been a board director for the board and how long you've served as the Part 2 examination chair?
Yes, I'm entering my sixth year as a director, and this will be my third year as the chair of Part 2.
Awesome. Well, again, welcome to the podcast. If you could, to start everything off, could you explain why the ABPMR administers the Part 2 exam?
Sure. Couple things. If there are two things that all viewers need to remember about this conversation, is one is board certification matters. It really does. And the second thing is, for those that are going in and taking the Part 2 examination, thinking about just being a good doctor, channeling that the essence of being a good physician will serve you well. So now, with those two things in mind, the rest will be a nice conversation about a little bit about the logistics. Part 2 is an oral examination, and that's in contrast to the Part 1 examination, which is a written examination. That written examination is multiple choice. The oral examination measures something different. And the reason it's an oral examination is that it really drives the notion that board certification matters, and it matters not only to the diplomates and practicing physiatrists, it matters to the public that we can increase their trust in us, all of us, not just the directors, not just the board itself, but all of the field of PM&R. And so when it measures something different than Part 1, that matters to the public, and it matters to many stakeholders in our healthcare world.
Could you go into a little bit more about what the Part 2 examination measures versus the Part 1 examination?
Sure. The number one thing that it measures, which is different, as I said before, than Part 1, it measures application of knowledge, not just knowledge itself. Multiple choice examinations measures our medical knowledge, but this measures application. And application, as we all know, that notion of being what it means to be a physician, a practicing physician, it gets to that point. And if you run the statistics between part one and part two, we see that they're measuring two different things. And statistically speaking and psychometrically speaking, those two tests are different than each other. What do I mean by application? We're talking about a vignette that helps us understand how somebody thinks, how they approach a problem, how they communicate, how they think about a system of care, how they might utilize the systems of care available to them in their own geographic locations. Those things are actually really relevant to the practice of medicine and to practicing physicians throughout the country.
Yeah, so the communication is key, obviously, because it is an oral exam. So the part two examination, it's kind of seeing what a candidate looks like in their real world practice. Is that correct?
Yeah, so let's, it might be a good time to launch into a discussion, and you can certainly ask clarifying questions on kind of how we build the part two examination. Really, we have plenty of information on the website, examples and demonstrations of what the part two actually feels and looks like. But really, let's get down into a little bit of the details. And those details include the creation of a vignette. What I mean by that is that there's a kernel of a scenario. Let's call it a stem or a thumbnail. This is a 55-year-old person with a past medical history of hypertension and diabetes who experienced a stroke, now has left hemiparesis that we're evaluating this patient to enter the inpatient rehabilitation hospital. That would be a stem, and it's not uncommon to evaluate folks with strokes in our clinical practice. Then that we have a series of domains that step through the application of the medical knowledge regarding, in this example, stroke. So domain A, for example, is revolved around how we gather data. History and physical examination gives the opportunity for the candidate to have a chat, really just have a conversation about how do you approach this particular patient, and what might be some of the features of the history and physical examination. And then the examiner might ask clarifying questions that help spur on the dialogue of just simply being a good physician, what we do every single day. Domain B is more of problem solving, maybe building a differential diagnosis from a consideration. This is a patient with a stroke who has shoulder pain. What might be the differential diagnosis of that particular condition or complaint? Then domain C kind of focuses on systems-based care. How might you use the resources around you to build a benefit for the patient in this particular scenario? And again, it would still be a conversation. And what an examiner would be looking for is not necessarily the exacting details, but an approach, a way of thinking that undergirds the notion of how a candidate might approach any patient, and it'd be consistent with what they do every day. So then problem solving, systems-based care kind of blend into C and D. And then the E component is really a dialogue around a problem, an opportunity, and it's really a role play where the candidate and the examiner engage in a conversation around a particular topic. Say, for example, Doc, I don't have enough money to pay for the rehabilitation services. I have too high of a copay, or I have difficulty in transportation. Then they would work through, or I'd like to stay a little bit longer in the rehab hospital. How might you help me? Then the candidate and examiner would engage in a dialogue or role play on the topic at hand. So it's really represents a mirroring of the daily routine of practice. These vignettes are created by practicing physicians, gone through an iterative process by multiple practicing physicians, not just academic types. We're talking about real practical physicians, and they evolve these vignettes to be really practical and useful. And I think the examples that we have on the board website would exemplify that notion.
Yeah, that is a great overview of the exam, and especially what specific skills are looked for in each domain. Some candidates are worried like they'll get a case that they just don't see in their real world practice. What would you say to these candidates who are worried about having cases on the exam that maybe they're not prepared for because they don't see it in their unique practice?
Yeah. So a couple of things. Remember, one of the main things that I mentioned early on was the notion of the first thing we need to remember: board certification matters. It matters as a credibility standard for the public, for stakeholders such as hospitals, stakeholders such as insurance companies and the like. So board certification across the breadth and depth of PM&R is really an important feature. Understand also that the practice of PM&R in the early stages, right after graduation, there's still a memory, if you will, of how the practice general PM&R. Even when we look at folks who are engaged in subspecialty fellowships, these candidates still do fine on the Part Two examination as a general rule. They continue to apply the practice principles that they learned in residency and continue to evolve, though in a subspecialty area, continue to evolve in their fellowship if they are in the middle of or completing a fellowship. So understand it's the reason I go into that is that it's everyone needs to understand it's the approach, the clinical approach that makes Part Two unique, not necessarily the facts about a particular biological phenomena. No doubt we need to be thinking about the facts of the biological phenomena. That is part of the Part Two examination, but it's the clinical application and it's the approach that the examiners will be looking at and be scoring the candidates on. So that specificity is not nearly as important as it is the general approach on how you take a history, physical examination, how you might approach a differential diagnosis, how you might approach engaging a team in a team-based care process. That happens whether you're an inpatient doctor or an outpatient doctor.
Yeah, I think it's important too that candidates recognize the Part Two exam as an opportunity to take everything they've learned in school and in residency and in their real world practice and show the examiners what they know and what they've learned. Like it's an opportunity for them to shine a little bit and show off all of their knowledge.
Yeah. Lizzie, I like that. It is. Be proud of what you do as a physician. Worked hard for the credentials that you have and work hard to deliver the care that you know you want to do out there in the real world. And the other way I would add to what you described, which was pretty spot on, was that this Part Two is really a conversation with a colleague. I think of residency programs as building colleagues. I tell our residents in our local environment that the moment you graduate from a residency is the moment you become a colleague. And we should all engage in that notion of being a colleague. How should we build colleagues in residency? And how should we behave together as colleagues? And this Part Two is really, in essence, an opportunity to have a conversation with a colleague. And if we take it like that, that ends up become to lower the tone, lower the intensity level, and allow it to be a much better experience. Allow them, as you put it, allow them to shine.
All of that was great insight, Dr. G. Something to look forward to for listeners is that everything you discussed today is going to go into more detail on future episodes. So we'll have future episodes on the domains of the exam and what examiners are looking for in the domains. We'll have some future episodes on how to prepare for the exam, what to expect from your examiners, as well as other resources for candidates. So I encourage you to follow along with the podcast and follow us on social media to keep up with new episodes. Dr. Garrison, you mentioned that there are tons of resources for the exam on the ABPMR website and News Center. So that is linked in the episode notes. We'll also be creating a part two podcast page on the News Center, which will have all of the episodes with links to other exam resources like webinars, Q&As, videos, articles, the part two exam outline itself, and other relevant exam information that's covered in each episode. So keep up with that on the News Center for lots of exam resources this year. And this was just episode one. I'm excited to have a lot more fun guests on to cover information you heard today in more detail and dig into a lot more things part two. So Dr. Garrison, is there anything else you'd like to say to the 2022 part two examination candidate?
Sure. So I'm honored to be the first here, Lizzie, and you coached me along nicely. So I appreciate that so much. Great conversation we had. Remember two things. Board certification matters. It matters to all of us as a collective group of physiatrists. And number two, when you get to the examination, channel your inner physician, inner good physician, and that will serve you well.
Perfect last words. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and being our first ever guest. I appreciate all of your wisdom and insight. Thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next week for an overview of the exam and a discussion on the domains.